If you would this morning, we do have bulletins, so if you didn't pick one up, please do so before leaving today. But turn with me, if you would, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is the last. I'm not sure how far we're going to get through today. But this is the last of the series of messages on end time spiritual warfare. And what we're talking about is the things that are happening now. And as we discussed last week, the enemy isn't just going to show up at the end of time. The Bible tells us in the book of 1 John chapter 4 that the spirit of Antichrist was already present when John was writing that letter to the Christians. And not only is he present, but he is trying to assault and afflict the world, including the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And as the time of the return of the Lord Jesus Christ draws closer, these assaults of the enemy will intensify. And there's a lot going on, and people might be wondering, what in the world is going on? And very possibly, I'm not standing up here as a prophet, I'm standing up here as a teacher of God's Word. Very possibly, we are in those days that show that the of increased intensity of the signs that show that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is imminent, with all the different events that will come with his return. And you can go back to in our archives, either on the website or on my YouTube channel, and see the different things that are going to happen as the Lord prepares to establish his eternal kingdom. But before the church is raptured, there'll be a series of birth pangs, which are signs that will increase. And you ladies know what I'm talking about. They're those signs that will increase in frequency and intensity before his return. And some of those signs are natural. They are wars, rumors of wars, famines, sickness, a pestilence, plague. All these different earthquakes, all these different things will increase in frequency and intensity as we draw closer to Jesus. So COVID-19, we expect to see more of that as we approach the time. And it is bad in its essence, but it is a reminder to us that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming. And as such, in the text that I'm going to read in just a moment, we need to be aware of these things. But we also, as we discussed last week, we also need to understand there will be an increase in spiritual attack, the intensity of the spiritual attack of the enemy against the world and against the church, as we approach the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we need to discern or understand what the nature of this assault is so that we're not unprepared. Because if you're not ready, the things that come against you could easily sweep you away. And I don't mean literally sweep you away, but sweep you away from the most important thing that there is in your life. That is your faith in Jesus. That last one is very, very critical and be a very, very dangerous time for the church. And if we're not, if I could use the expression, if we're not on our game as far as living for Jesus, could easily be swept up in the chaos that's coming. Let's read our theme text this morning, which reminds us the importance of being alert and discerning of the times. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 1 through 5. Now, brothers and sisters, about times and dates we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly as labor pains on a pregnant woman. And they will not escape. But you, brothers and sisters, are not in darkness so that this day should surprise you like a thief. You are all children of the light and children of the day. We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. Let's bow our hearts together and let's ask God's blessing to be with us as we look to God's word together today. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much in the name of Jesus for the promises of God, which are yes and amen. And we thank you also, God, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, you give us insight, not only as far as who you are, not only as far as what you can and are doing in our lives, but also insight as far as those things which are to come. Dear Jesus, as we are together this morning, we just ask once again for the anointing of your Holy Spirit to fill this very room. May you give words to this, your speaker today. May you give us all ears to hear what your Spirit is saying so that we might be built up in the faith and prepared for your return. And we ask this in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Let's take some time and this morning and let's talk about these increasing attacks that the enemy has unleashed upon the world and the church, and we should not expect that they'll get better or easier. We should expect that they're going to be worse. And the first assault that I'd like to share with you this morning is that of fear. We read about this in Luke's gospel, and there are many passages in the New Testament, both the words of Jesus, the words of Paul, the words of John, that, and also Peter for that matter, that talk about the events surrounding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And some of the words of Jesus are found in Luke's gospel chapter 21. So if you wanted to take time to look at that, in your devotional reading, that will give you some insight and help you as far as you reflect upon this message. But verses 25 and 26 talk about the issue of fear. And I think that's very apropos today, because one of the things that has gripped and is increasing its stranglehold on at least American society, if not the world, is fear, especially in light of COVID. Reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, 25 says, "And there will be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars and on the earth, distress of nations, with perplexity the seas and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. The powers of the heavens will be shaken." Now, a few things about this portion of Scripture may I bring to your attention. Number one of the things that this is speaking of, and we talked about this when we talked about that period of time that's coming, referred to as the Great Tribulation, where the wrath of God is poured out in a great way upon the earth. And there are various types of plagues and disasters that happen, all with the purpose of giving mankind one last opportunity to accept Christ as Savior. I know I've said this often, but I don't want to leave you today with the impression that God is just a mean, angry God with a big stick who just wants to beat humanity. There's nothing farther from the truth. We are now living under a state of grace. If we received what we deserved, the book of Revelation and all the horrors that are in it would be happening today. With all the blasphemy, and what blasphemy is speaking against God. And some people say, well, what's wrong with speaking against God? Listen, God is our creator. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. He is not only our creator, he is our sustainer. We are his sheep. And he provides every need, whether we like to believe it or not. It is God who puts food on the table. God who gives us opportunity to work. God who gives us health. Not the government, not your own two hands. Not your rich mama or your rich daddy. It is the Lord Jesus that provides those things. And most importantly, God gave his life for you and every other individual who has ever lived or will ever live on this earth. God gave his only son to die for you. And so we honor him. We owe him all honor, all glory, all praise because he is God. He is our provider. He gave us life, and he has provided us a way for new life. That's not the only sin that man is guilty of. The sin of blasphemy or speaking against God is also the sin of man's inhumanity against man. And you don't have to look very, very far to see that. Just open the paper and you'll see. And I'm not going to say I don't care what the cause is. The root cause of when someone beats or kills or maims or robs or rapes or does any of those embezzles or exploits, the root cause of those things is the wickedness that resides in the heart of humanity. And God sees these things. But because God is merciful and gracious, God has given mankind an opportunity under times of blessing to receive him as Lord and as Savior, to receive forgiveness of sin. Yet many, despite the provision of God, despite the abundance of the Word of God and the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God, especially in this country, many people have refused the message of God's love and God's grace. And so before God says everything is said and done, he's going to pour out his wrath on this earth to destroy man? No, to give man one last opportunity to turn to him. Because as bad as that time will be, it will be nothing compared to eternity without Jesus, which will be an eternity of eternal suffering because of one's own sins. And during that time of unprecedented judgment upon the earth, the gospel will be preached. There'll be witness, two men, we don't know who they are. Two men are going to preach the gospel. 144,000 Israelites, many believe, will be preaching the gospel. And there'll even be angels in the heavens above preaching the gospel to humanity, giving them one last opportunity. Turn now in the midst of your sorrow and affliction, because without Jesus it will only get worse from here. And people will realize that during this time, and when the sixth seal, and I think we read about it in either Revelation 6 or 7, somewhere around that, I don't have the reference, but when the sixth seal is open, the book of God's judgment upon the earth, the Bible says there'll be signs both in the heavens above and on the earth below that will let mankind know that God is coming soon, and that will be the time that men's hearts will fail them because of fear. But fear won't just magically appear on that day that the sixth seal is open. There has been and will be an increasing assault of fear spiritually from the enemy as we approach the time of the Lord's return. Interestingly enough, the fear that is necessary we don't have today. And the fear I'm speaking of is the fear of the Lord. The Bible says as far as fear, and when we say fear of God, definitely fear and trembling because of judgment, but fear, similar to the fear that an individual has towards a parent or someone in authority, which is a healthy honor and respect, that fear is absent. You know, I don't have it in my notes this morning, but that's a fear. If you want to live in peace, and you want to live in security, and if you want to live in joy this morning, that's a fear that you need to cultivate in your life, of a reverential fear of the Lord that understands that He is God, that He is our Creator, and that He is our Savior. Let me tell you, when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, something wonderful happens within your heart and life. Somebody's so desperate to come to church this morning, they're trying to call in. We don't do conference calls. Praise God. The Bible says when you receive the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, you are born again by the Spirit of God, and then you become God's children. Now, I know there are some who had a very bad childhood experience, and that's why some people have a hard time contemplating God as a heavenly Father. But God never intended the childhood experience, as far as the relationship between child and father, to be that of abuse or anger or terror. He intended that relationship to be a relationship of love, of tenderness, of strength, but also of fear or respect. My father was a very gentle man. My father was a very loving man, but I knew, more so with my mother than my father, that I needed to treat them respectfully, because if I didn't, I would be in trouble. But that did not make me fearful or afraid of my parents hiding under my bed because I knew they were coming home soon. It was always a joy to see them come home and to welcome them. And they were working. And such it is with our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. When we are in right relationship with Him, not so much because of what we've done, although when you come to Jesus, it's important to repent of your sin, but we're not terrified of God any longer because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and because it has cleansed us from each and every sin, we are now in a loving relationship with the Heavenly Father. And although I respect God, and although I want to honor God with my mouth, with my hands, with my feet, with my mind, because I'm in right relationship with Jesus, because I'm living for God by faith, even though I have this healthy fear or respect of God, I'm living at a place of peace. I know everything's going to work out all right. Why? Because my Father's got everything taken care of. Even though I will face tough and difficult times. I'm at peace. I know everything's going to be okay. I'm not saying I'm not concerned about COVID. I certainly am, but I have an assurance that it's all going to work out. Of course, one of the concerns I have as an American, I have a concern regarding this election coming up. My concern is this: no one, especially with the COVID, and now there's things about the post office in the news, and you know, you get so tired of the news, you just don't want to hear it anymore. But I know there are issues going on there, and the mail will have a big part of this year's elections. No one's going to be happy with the result of the election, regardless. And the chaos that we're seeing in our cities very easily could increase, but I'm not worried. And it's not robbing me of my joy because I know my Heavenly Father's in control. It doesn't mean I'm not concerned, I'm not praying for it, I'm not praying about it. And don't desire to be an instrument of God's peace during this time to bring people together. But hallelujah, even though America could be tossed into chaos and can become next year a third world nation overnight, it's happened in other nations, it could happen here. Now again, I'm not saying this prophetically at all, and I hope it never happens. It's still going to be all right because God is in control. But that's not the case for those whose lives are monopolized by fear. When you don't have a fear of the Lord, and let me tell you, there's some believers who fall under this category. I'm sorry to say, you lose that reverential fear or respect and honor of God that you should have, because God, even though he's your Savior, he's your shepherd, he is still God. There is no certainty as far as the things that are going on. And we're seeing this in our society today, where people are so fearful that something bad is going to happen in their lives, to the point where they really are under a constant assault of stress in their lives and have no peace. And part of the reason is the absence of the fear of the Lord, because when you fear God, God takes away the fear of the world that is around you and puts in peace and joy and assurance regarding what's going on and what may happen in the future, because God has it all under control. But this is where the spiritual attack now enters in, because there's not just the matter of in our own human weakness, you know, the fight or flight instinct. When things are bad, when the stock market is precarious and you have a lot of stock, or looking at the news and you know, and let me just say this, and you all know it to be true, news is very competitive, and in order for one news organization to outdo another, it's got to sensationalize everything. And in the course of sensationalizing news, you know, it feels like, you know, I would have thought, and forgive me for digressing today, but you know, I would have thought there were tens of millions of people dying every day from COVID-19. From what I've seen in news reports, how dire the situation is, how bad it is in Georgia and Florida and whatnot. They've had this resurgence while it's good up here. And I'm not saying it's good down there, But per capita, they've had less COVID deaths than definitely New York, and I dare say most of our New England states. Sensationalist. So there's those things that are going on. But then there's the assault from the spiritual realm. And make no mistake about it, as we discussed last week, as Hal Lindsey said in the title of one of his books, Satan is alive and well and living on planet Earth, and he's not just sitting there watching what's going on. He's assaulting humanity, and one of the things he's assaulting humanity with is fear. And we see this. And there is reason to believe that the affliction of fear is increasing in intensity in at least our culture and perhaps the world today. Whereas a number of studies show that there are more documented cases of anxiety in our country today than there's ever been. Now, some will say the reason for this, and that's why whenever you read stats, it's important not just to read the stats, but to read all the stuff that goes around it, all, you know, as far as you know, the circumstances and other information that goes with it, so you can rightly interpret the stats. One of the reasons that some people feel that there are more documented cases of anxiety in our culture today, and I think it's like somewhere around 3 million is one figure, and this data is a few years old. One of the reasons is just people are more aware of it. People suffered for anxiety for, you know, all throughout time. That's been an issue, but now there's a greater awareness of it. And so it's being diagnosed more and documented more. But let me just, now I'm going from stats just to my personal opinion. It seems to me, and I may be wrong and you're free to disagree with me, but it seems to me though, that especially amongst our young people, fear is not only an increasing issue, fear has become a debilitating issue. Where it seems like not all, but many of our younger people are having difficulty just coping with life. I think I shared the story. I heard, I was listening to a message from Francis Chan. This is a while back. And he was after the sermon, he was praying with different young people, and you know, and his goal, and he's a wonderful speaker, really good messages. He speaks in sandals, so if you don't like preachers in sandals, just don't look at his feet. Is that Meredith? Hey, Meredith, how are you? Great to see you. And he was preaching, and then afterwards he was praying for different individuals. And as he was, a young lady came forward, and he began to share with her and wanted to pray with her. And then he confronted her about an area of her life that was a snare to her. And I'm not exactly sure what the area was. It doesn't really matter. And when he did, she curled herself up in a ball and fell on the ground and said that she felt unsafe, all because a minister just spoke with her regarding an issue in her life. And of course, when people say they're unsafe, they're talking about a paralyzing fear. And let me share this with you, my friends, this morning. It's more than just the intense situations that are going on. And it's more than just the absence of the fear of God, which is very critical. It is also a spiritual assault against all of humanity. Why? Because that's what Satan does. Listen to this scripture from 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. What this scripture is saying, it's talking about the nature of the enemy, and in one way, and there's actually two sermons there. I'm not going to preach two sermons today. But there's one aspect of Satan is looking to devour or destroy people's lives, specifically people's faith. Interesting thing about a lion. When a lion, just like any other, is just a big cat. And those of you who've had cats, and they're outdoor cats, you've seen your cat in action. Where when they see prey, they're not meowing to the top of their lungs and you know, showing how strong they are and pouncing on it. They slyly go up to that bird or whatever it might be and then pounce on it. You don't have to watch Wild Kingdom. You can just watch your cat do it. And such it is with a lion, very, very subtle. But when a male lion senses danger, or in a pride, which is a group of lions, when a male lion sees other male lions trying to encroach upon his pride, he lets out a mighty roar. Why? To scare away others. And he's doing the same thing today. I think as it relates to the end of time, and this is something the enemy has always done, because fear is a chain that keeps you from freedom. Freedom of joy, freedom of peace, freedom to serve God, freedom to love and to live. But as it relates to the end of times, Satan, I believe, as far as the world, wants to encapsulate people in fear, or bind people with fear, in that there's no hope, so that they'll be willing to accept his leader that at some point will appear on the stage of humanity. But secondly, and this is why you and I need to be careful, why you and I need to be sober, why you and I need to be awake and alert. Satan would love to scare us from serving Jesus, from living for Jesus, from trusting Jesus. You know, there's a lot of dynamics to fear, and it's not just, you know, sharing Jesus with other people or coming to church. But it's also trusting God, that God is going to supply all your needs according to your riches and glory, that God is going to get you through the difficult time that you're in, that God is going to bring restoration to your family, to your mind, to your heart. Because basically what fear does is undermines your faith, and without faith, it's impossible to please God. Let's stand together this morning.